It's often said in the Imperial Guard that only in death does duty end. A comforting motto, right? Comforting, that is, if you weren't considering an early retirement. So you're thinking about deserting the glorious service of the God Emperor of mankind. You want to turn tail and run from the endless war, the horrific alien swarms, the gibbering demons, and your charming commanding officer who's been threatening to shoot you since day one? Well, sit down, friend. Let's talk about the draconian fate of Imperial deserters. Imagine, for a moment, the battlefield in all its hellish splendor. Las fire streaking through toxic air, artillery shells turning earth and bone alike into slurry, the distant roar of chainswords and the screams of the dying. You're a simple guardsman huddled in a muddy trench on some emperor-forsaken world, and terror sinks its claws into your heart. The enemy is closing in. Clawed Xenos beasts or traitorous heretics, take your pick, and every instinct in your frail human body screams at you to run, run, run. Now freeze that frame. What happens if you listen to that little voice of self-preservation? What if, in a moment of blind panic or clarity, take your choice, you decide to drop your last gun, abandon your post, and bolt? In the sane, logical world that doesn't exist, maybe you'd live to see another sunrise, maybe even start a quiet farm on a nice, temperate planet far away. But this is the Imperium of Man, and in case you haven't noticed, it's not big on live and let live. In the grim darkness of the far future, there is only war, and there's certainly no patience for cowards. So, let's explore exactly what fresh hell awaits an Imperial deserter. And trust me, the options are all exquisitely unpleasant. So, let's start with the battlefield itself, because in the heat of combat, there is simply no way out for a would-be deserter. The very moment you even think about turning tail, you've already committed a grave sin in the eyes of the Imperium. This isn't a modern, compassionate army where you can resign with a formal letter and a handshake. Oh no. In the Imperium of Man, duty is life, quite literally. The Imperial Guard's creed hammers it in. Only in death does duty end. Let that sink in. Your service to the Emperor is over only when you're a corpse. If you try to end it before then, the Imperium will end you. On the battlefield, there's no time for legal niceties or second chances. The instant you break and run, you'll likely hear the last sound of your life. A loud blam. That's the bark of a bolt pistol, fired by your friendly neighborhood commissar into the back of your skull. Those commissars. The stern figures in greatcoats and peaked caps stalking behind the line aren't just for show. They are the Emperor's watchdogs, there to enforce discipline and courage, if that's what we call the thing that keeps you charging a tyrannid when every sane part of you wants to flee. Their favorite motivational technique? Summary execution. Cowardice, disobedience, panic. Any hint that you might abandon your post is answered with a bolt round to the head. No questions asked, no appeals granted. It's astounding how quickly the fear of a commissar's gun can straighten a soldier's spine. When you're more afraid of your own officers than of the ravening aliens in front of you, you tend to reconsider the whole running away idea. Commissars have an official mandate from the Departamento Munitorum to preserve morale and discipline in the ranks. In practice, that means they can execute any soldier, or officer for that matter, on the spot. They've been given the power to act as judge, jury, and executioner whenever they deem it necessary. And believe me, they deem it necessary a lot. To a commissar, a guardsman who won't fight might as well be a traitor. The logic is simple. One coward can panic a dozen others, and before you know it, an entire flank collapses. In the horror calculus of the Imperium, it's better to snuff out one cowardly life to save a thousand others. So they will not hesitate. You'll be dead before the word retreat has fully left your lips. If you're unlucky enough to cause a real mess, say your whole squad breaks ranks, the response will scale up to match. Commissars have been known to make examples of cowards on a larger scale. Ever heard of decimation? Old Terran practice. If a unit faltered, one in every 10 men was executed to terrorize the rest into obedience. Well, that idea never died. There have been Imperial commanders who ordered decimations after a defeat or a rout. Line up the offending company, count them off, and shoot every 10th man. Imagine standing there watching the fellow next to you get his head blown off because some of you turned and ran. Think you'd feel motivated to do better next time? The Imperium certainly thinks so. It's brutal, but that brutality is the point. It sears the lesson into the survivors' brains. Fear is a powerful tool, and the Imperium wields it without mercy. Thus, on the front lines, desertion usually earns you an instant and ignominious death at the hands of your own side. If the enemy doesn't kill you, your superiors will. From the Imperium's perspective, a quick execution by a bolt pistol is actually a neat and tidy solution. Problem solved. Rot removed. They'll even use your corpse as a cautionary tale. Perhaps your body gets left propped in the trench with a sign that says "coward" pinned to it. A lovely morale boost for the rest of the lads and lasses. Grim as this fate is, I regret to inform you it's actually one of the better outcomes for a deserter. A bolt to the brain is quick. There are far harsher fates awaiting those who try more indirect methods of escape. So, if summary execution on the battlefield is the merciful scenario, what does the unmerciful one look like? Let's move on from the heat of battle to the aftermath, assuming you somehow survive the act of desertion itself. Now let's suppose, by some miracle or slyness on your part, you escape that immediate battlefield execution. Perhaps the chaos of battle provided cover, or your regiment was overrun, and you slipped away in the confusion, presumed dead among the piles of corpses. Now you're no longer on the front lines. For a brief, foolish moment, you might think you're free. Free from the commissar's gaze, free from the constant artillery barrages and blood-soaked mud. Maybe you're even imagining a peaceful life on some far-flung world, living incognito. But let me assure you, freedom for an Imperial deserter is an illusion. You've merely traded one kind of danger for another. Now you're a wanted fugitive, and the entire machinery of Imperial justice is grinding into motion to hunt you down. The Imperium spans a million worlds, each teeming with agents of the law ever ready to snare the wayward. At the planetary level, you've got the Adeptus Arbites, Imperial law enforcement, the judges and executioners of the Emperor's law. If you deserted on world and try to disappear among the civilian populace, the Arbites will be on your scent before long. These are not kind-hearted local police. These are brutal enforcers in carapace armor who uphold Imperial law with combat shotguns and iron will. And wouldn't you know it, one of the most heinous crimes in their book is desertion, which they equate with sedition and treason. To an arbitrator, you aren't just a scared soldier. You're a potential spark of rebellion. They will track you relentlessly. If they catch you, they won't bother with a gentle arrest. Expect to be beaten, shackled, likely interrogated. They'll want to ensure you're not part of some larger plot, and then swiftly handed over to the military authorities for sentencing. Sentencing, by the way, is a rather perfunctory affair in your case. You abandon the Emperor's service. That's open and shut. The punishment is death or worse. In many instances, there's no protracted trial. If a commissar or officer is present, they might carry out the sentence on the spot. Perhaps they'll gather a little firing squad for form's sake and shoot you with a line from the Imperial Infantryman's uplifting primer about cowardice on their lips. Perhaps they won't even give you that dignity. A bolt to the back of the head in some alley behind the precinct, and it's done. You'll be listed as executed for cowardice. In a footnote of the regimental archives, your name forever marked with shame. Not that you'll be around to care. If they're feeling particularly theatrical, or if you're one of several deserters caught at once, the higher-ups might stage a public example. Picture this. You and a handful of other unfortunates dragged back to your regiment's camp at gunpoint, gaunt and filthy from weeks on the run. The troops are assembled. The colonel gives a rousing speech about loyalty and sacrifice. Then the commissar reads out a list of your failures. You might be too far gone to hear it over the pounding of your heart. At the finale, the lace guns crack in a single volley. You slump, full of holes, and the officer turns back to his men with a curt, "Let that be a lesson." It will be. Nobody will forget watching you die in disgrace. However, the Imperium might have other plans for you. Plans that don't let you off the hook so swiftly. Sometimes, especially if manpower is running low or someone upstairs has a cruel sense of pragmatism, they decide that shooting you outright is too easy. Why grant the favor of a quick death when your miserable hide could serve as a warning and a useful tool? This is where the concept of penal legions comes in. Instead of executing you, the authorities may sentence you to a lifetime in a penal legion regiment. In other words, they'll still kill you. Just indirectly, by sending you on the worst missions imaginable until something else does the killing. It's the Imperium's way of saying, "You chose not to stand and die when we ordered, so now you'll fight and die when we command, and you'll do so with a bomb collar around your neck just to make sure." Before we march you off to that fate, let's emphasize, as a deserter, you're considered scum. You have virtually no rights, no sympathy, and no hope within Imperial society. If you aren't executed immediately or shunted into penal service, you'll likely be thrown into a labor camp or into servitude somewhere equally dreadful. The administratum might assign you a number and send you to toil in the mines of a barren moon, digging promethium until you collapse. Or maybe they'll hand you over to the mechanicus, who's always in need of fresh organic material for servitors. We'll get to that grim possibility soon. The point is, there is no happy ending here. You don't get to run off to a farm and live out your days peacefully under an alien sun. The Imperium has a very long reach and an even longer memory. Every port, every city, every colony. There's someone there whose job is to spot people like you and turn you in. Even if by some almost unthinkable chance you evade formal capture for years, you'll live as a pariah. Your life will be reduced to hiding in the filthiest depths of society. Perhaps you'll become one of those ragged, half-mad drifters in the underhive of a hive city, surviving on recycled water and fungus, praying each day that no one notices you. And if the Arbites ever do a sweep, you'll be culled like vermin along with all the other unregistered souls. So yes, you escaped the battlefield, but in exchange you signed up for a life of fear and suffering that might actually be worse than a clean death would have been. Since we're being thorough, lucky you, let's assume the Imperium opts for that penal legion sentence rather than a summary execution. This is where your story continues, for a little while anyway. It's time to detail exactly what fresh nightmare the penal legions are, and how they make even the most hardened criminals, and deserters like you, beg for death as a release. Welcome to the penal legions, dear deserter. You didn't want to stand and die with your comrades, so now you get to march off and die alongside the worst scum of the galaxy. How's that for a second chance? The Astra Militarum's penal legions, formerly the Legionese Penitent, often just called penal battalions, are units composed entirely of criminals, murderers, thieves, heretics, and yes, cowards and deserters like you. The good news? You're not being shot tomorrow morning. The bad news? The Imperium has simply found a more painful, drawn-out way to execute you. Upon being consigned to a penal legion, you'll be processed like a piece of meat. Uniform and honors, if you had any, are stripped away. Your identity becomes a serial number stenciled on your prison fatigues or tattooed on your skin. They shave your head both to mark you and to help delouse the new livestock. That's you. Then comes the stylish new accessory around your neck, an explosive collar. This delightful gadget is clamped around your throat and armed by the tech priests. One flick of a switch by your overseers and boom, it directs a shaped charge inward, blowing your head clean off without too much mess. It's not there to turn you into a martyrdom bomber, unless things get really desperate. It's there to guarantee your obedience. Think of it as your personal motivation device. Entertain thoughts of escape or mutiny, and the caller's answer will be swift. Only the Adeptus Mechanicus can remove it, and only if, by some miracle, you earn your freedom or survive your tour. Few do, but we'll get to that. So collared and numbered, you're thrown in with your new unit. Look around. Quite the rogues' gallery, isn't it? You'll see hardened killers and twitchy lunatics, political dissidents who mouthed off one too many times, maybe a fanatical cultist or two who got caught. And of course, fellow deserters, some still shaking with shame or anger, others resigned to their fate. All of you have one thing in common. Society's decided it has no use for you except as cannon fodder. Discipline is maintained by an entourage of severe individuals who make your former commissar look like a kindly uncle. There will be regular Imperial officers or commissars assigned to command, often ones who have fallen out of favor themselves or who have a reputation for extreme methods. And overseeing everything are the guards, usually members of the Adeptus Arbites or specially appointed penal custodians. Picture faceless enforcers in black armor with shotguns and shock prods, and a remit to keep you in line at all costs. If you so much as spit in the wrong direction, they'll beat you to a pulp or trigger your collar without batting an eye. As for equipment, don't expect a shiny new las gun fresh from the Munitorum. You'll get whatever's spare or left over. A battered rifle, a few charge packs, maybe not even a full load. Perhaps a rusty bayonet or knife. If they're feeling generous, you might get an ill-fitting flak vest with more patches than fabric. The attitude is that you're not worth wasting good gear on. After all, you're not expected to live long enough to maintain it. Some penal units employ a little extra insurance, combat drugs. Ever heard of Frenzon? It's a cocktail that induces a fearless, frenzied state in the user. In many penal legions, they'll strap an injector to you, often integrated into that collar rig, loaded with Frenzon or similar substances. At the start of a battle, someone in command hits a button and shk, a dose shoots into your carotid artery. Suddenly, whatever fear or hesitation you had is drowned in a wave of chemically induced zeal. Your eyes glaze with insane courage, pain nerves dull, and you are transformed into a man who will charge a Chaos Space Marine with nothing but a shiv, screaming praise to the Emperor. Useful, right? To the Imperium, it's the perfect solution. The drug drives you forward when your craven heart might falter, and the caller makes sure you don't get any clever ideas apart from killing the enemy. Let's talk about what missions await a penal legionnaire like you. In short, the worst of the worst. You'll be thrown into suicidal assaults, last-ditch defenses, and attritional meat grinders whenever and wherever needed. If there's a near impossible task with a slim chance of success, but a near certainty of everyone dying, that's a job for the penal legions. Need someone to run straight into the guns to find out where the enemy's firing lanes are? send in the expendables, need to wear down a fortified bunker with wave after wave of bodies, penal troops will do nicely, digging trenches on a planet where the soil itself is toxic and mutating. Line up the convicts with shovels, clearing a space hulk infested with Genis dealers? Well, you get the idea. The Imperial brass will spend your lives as thoughtlessly as one spends pennies, because that's all you are to them now. Currency to buy victory or buy time. Most Penal Legion soldiers don't survive their first battle. That's the grim reality. They're not really intended to. If 100 charge and even a handful make it through to achieve the objective, that's considered a success. The rest, disposable losses. But here's the twist. Those few who survive a while, they tend to be the toughest, meanest, or luckiest bastards you'll ever meet. When literally every battle is a do or die where running is not an option, remember the collar? Some individuals adapt in frightening ways. There are tales of prisoners who survive dozens of engagements. True living weapons, scarred and death wish crazy, kept alive perhaps by the Emperor's own dark sense of humor. They become lethal fighters because, frankly, only the lethal last that long. But don't mistake that for any kind of path to freedom. It usually just means when death finally catches them, it will be all the more horrific. The Imperium isn't completely heartless to its penal legionnaires, at least not spiritually. They do send along the clergy to tend to your soul, since your body's a lost cause. You'll often march into battle to the cries of redemption from frothing ministorum priests. These priests or praecentors of penance wholeheartedly believe you lot can earn forgiveness by shedding your blood in the Emperor's name. They'll brandish holy books and relics, shrieking prayers over the din of gunfire. Some prisoners actually find solace in this, believe it or not. When your life is nothing but misery, the idea that your suffering has a divine purpose, that your death might cleanse your sins, can be oddly comforting. You might charge because a man screaming that through your sacrifice the Emperor absolves you is bellowing right behind you, and it's better to meet the enemy than face the shame of hanging back and getting your head blown off by your own collar. Faith can flourish in strange places, and many penal legionnaires become fervently devout in their final hours. After all, when reality is that awful, clinging to the hope of an afterlife or redemption is all you've got. Now, is there any light at all in this tunnel? Officially, yes, however faint and illusory. There are, on the books, ways a penal legion convict could regain some status. Perhaps after an absurd number of battles survived or an extraordinary act of heroism, a commander might petition that a convict's sentence be commuted. Stories circulate of the occasional soul who so impresses their superiors that they're granted a full pardon. Maybe they saved a general's life in battle or single-handedly held a breach against impossible odds. Such men, if they exist, are said to be reinducted as ordinary guardsmen again, their explosive collar removed, their record wiped clean or marked redeemed by death-defying valor or something to that effect. But let's be brutally honest, this almost never happens. For every one rumored case of redemption, tens of thousands of your peers will die nameless and unpardoned. The promise of possible freedom is mostly just a carrot to dangle in front of the desperate. It gives you just enough hope that you might fight a little harder, cling to life a little longer, just in case you could be that one in a million. The house always wins, though. The Emperor will get your life, one way or another, and pardons are bad for morale of the other convicts. Why is he special and not us? So they're exceedingly rare. But hey, if believing you can earn a pardon makes you charge those heretics with extra gusto, the Imperium is happy to let that tiny glimmer shine. Historical footnotes can illustrate the point. Take Colonel Schaefer's Last Chancers, for example. That was a penal legion unit made infamous in the annals of the Astra Militarum. Colonel Schaefer would gather a bunch of death row convicts for special suicide missions, the kind no sane commander would even ask of regular troops, promise them that if they succeeded and survived, a big if, they'd earn their freedom. Did some of them technically earn it? Possibly, but very, very few ever lived to collect that reward. Most of the last chances met predictably grisly ends, accomplishing tasks deemed impossible. The joke was that if Schaefer himself offered you a spot in his team, you'd be wiser to throw yourself on your sword then and there. Another example, the Savlar Chem Dogs Regiment. They started as basically a giant penal workforce from the toxic hive world of Savlar. The Imperium told these prisoners, "Fight for us, and you can keep whatever loot you take, plus you get off Savlar for a while." They fought like devils, motivated by greed and the desire to not go back to breathing poisonous air 24/7. They even distinguished themselves in some campaigns. But at the end of the day, they were still considered scum, useful scum, but scum. The chem dogs who didn't die in battle often, well, stayed with the regiment, because what else were they gonna do? The few who left probably ended up as mercenaries or gang lords, which, let's face it, is just another flavor of short-lived existence in the 41st millennium. So in the penal legions, you will fight, and you will almost certainly die. The Imperium will get some use out of your miserable hide, and you might purge a bit of your guilt with each screaming charge into enemy lines. It's gruesome, but there's a twisted fairness to it. You took the Emperor's shilling and then tried to back out, so now you pay your debt in blood. Every mission, every hopeless assault, is a coin of blood put toward balancing the ledger of your betrayal. When you've paid enough, nature or the enemy will decide when. You fall, and it's over. Maybe a comrade will remember that you died facing forward this time, weapon in hand, and think that counts for something. The Departamento Munitorum certainly won't remember or care. They'll just mark one more body off the tally and move on. In summary, trading a firing squad for a penal legion isn't salvation, it's a slower damnation. Yes, you might live a few battles by luck or by hidden bravery. You might even rise to lead your fellow prisoners if you're particularly formidable. Sometimes those with nothing to lose make fearsome fighters. But the end is always the same. One day, maybe soon, maybe a little later, you'll charge one position too many and you'll be cut down. If you're lucky, it'll be quick. A last bolt through the heart. If not, perhaps an orc will tear you apart limb from limb, or a tyranid will have you for lunch. Either way, you'll die with that collar still around your neck, your service finally fulfilled. Only in death does your duty end. Sound familiar? That maxim was basically written for the penal legions. So yes, as a deserter pressed into a penal legion, you get to experience the exquisite irony of dying in battle for the Emperor after all, just in a more degrading and painful way than if you'd done it when you were supposed to. The Emperor, or at least his servants, has a dark sense of humor, it seems. Before we move on to what happens when deserters throw their lot in with the enemy, let's touch on a few other fates that might befall an Imperial soldier who breaks faith. The Imperium's punishments are nothing if not creative in their cruelty. Execution and penal legions are common, yes, but there are darker possibilities that make a firing squad seem merciful. For instance, you might be handed over to the Adeptus Mechanicus for repurposing. The Mechanicus always needs servitors, those cyborg drones that perform menial or dangerous tasks. Creating a servitor involves lobotomizing a human, scrubbing their mind of personality and memory, and installing cybernetic enhancements so they can obediently carry out programmed instructions. It's a fate normally reserved for tech heretics and criminals whose skills or bodies are deemed useful. A wayward guardsman might not usually end up a servitor just for desertion, unless, say, you had some particular expertise they want to exploit. but if the opportunity arises, don't think for a second they'd hesitate. Picture it. Instead of a clean death, you get a cyberjack rammed into your brain. You wake up, if it can be called waking, with no sense of self, no thoughts beyond the commands scrolling through your cortex. Perhaps you'll spend the rest of your days loading artillery shells or cleaning bilges on a starship, with no more awareness than a piece of machinery. The Emperor needs tools as much as he needs soldiers, and you forfeited your place as the latter, so they make you the former. In a very literal sense, you become property, more so even than when you wore a uniform. The Ecclesiarchy, the Church, has its own version of this living damnation. They can create arcoflagellants, mind-wiped, chemically mutilated berserkers used in close combat. These are often violent criminals or heretics sentenced to redemption. The process: implant a bunch of syringes and weaponry into the subject's body, carve sigils of faith into their flesh, and suppress their higher brain functions with psychoconditioning. Then, when unleashed with a trigger phrase of Holy Scripture, the arcoflagellant goes wild, an uncontrollable frenzy of flailing electro-whips and implanted claws, tearing apart the enemies of the faith until either they or everything nearby is dead. Imagine being that poor soul. Your last conscious memory is maybe a prayer or a scream, and then nothing but an endless haze of blood and pain until your body finally gives out. It's arguably a fate worse than death, being made into a living weapon with no control or awareness. If some fire and brimstone confessor decides that desertion from the God equals blasphemy against the God Emperor, and some absolutely do see it that way, they might push for you to be made an arcoflagellant to purge your sin in righteous combat. At that point, you're not even a person in the Imperium's eyes, just a penitent flesh weapon. And let's not forget the Inquisition. If your desertion case has any whiff of complicating factors, say you fled during a battle with demons, or you saw something you shouldn't, or worse, you actually collaborated with the enemy in some way, the Inquisition might take an interest. Should an Inquisitor suspect you of heresy or of vital knowledge, you'll pray for the simple options like a bullet or a penal legion. Because the Inquisition will want to know things. They'll drag you into a dungeon somewhere and apply methods of interrogation that are the stuff of nightmares. Psycho-indoctrination, pain engines, mind probes that slip into your very thoughts. They have many tools. Maybe they're just ensuring you haven't been corrupted by chaos or infested with some Xenos parasite. That process will not be gentle. If they find you clean, they might simply execute you as a precaution anyway. Can't be too careful with someone who's been exposed to, say, the influence of a Genestealer cult or the whispers of a demon. If they find taint, well, an excruciating death might be the best outcome there. The Inquisition does sometimes sanction arcoflagellation or servitor conversion for those they deem redeemable through service but too dangerous to leave intact. In short, if the secret police of the Imperium gets hold of you, your life is effectively over, just in degrees of agony. All of these fates, servitor, arcoflagellant, tortured heretic, they underscore a simple truth. Once you break faith with the Imperium, you lose any claim to humanity in its eyes. You become a tool to be used or an example to be made. The very people who once called you comrade now see you as either an object or an enemy. So ask yourself, was running away really going to spare you pain? In this universe, sometimes a last bolt to the heart is a kinder end than what the justice system will dream up for you. But speaking of enemies, we've mostly considered what the Imperium itself will do to a deserter. There's another side to this coin. What if, in fleeing your duty, you don't intend to just hide or get caught? What if you actually try to change sides? Perhaps you think the Emperor's not worth dying for, and maybe, just maybe, those other guys might treat you better. It's a treasonous thought, and usually a last one. But it's worth exploring. What happens to the Imperial deserter who joins the enemy? What if instead of slinking off into a hole or being dragged into a penal battalion, you decide to actively throw your lot in with the Emperor's enemies? It's a bold move. One might say a suicidal kind of bold. But it has happened. Entire units have turned coat throughout history, seduced by promises of mercy, power, or just out of sheer desperation. The outcome is almost always the same. Tragedy. Let's take the most infamous option, chaos. Perhaps during a battle you saw the forces of chaos and thought, hey, those guys hate the Imperium too. Maybe they'd be nicer employers. The Chaos Gods surely have a wicked sense of humor if they let you entertain that thought. In the moment you betray the Imperium and offer yourself to chaos, you've basically jumped from the frying pan into a supernova. Sure, the Chaos Lord leading the traitor warband might welcome you initially. They'll take any fresh meat they can get. You might even get to keep your weapon and fight alongside them. You might even feel a twisted sense of freedom. No commissar breathing down your neck. No Imperial Creed sermons. You'll get different sermons, but we'll get to that. And the chance to pay back the Imperium that, in your eyes, wronged you. For a short time, you might actually believe you've landed on the winning side of the deal. Then reality, or unreality, sets in. First, the Chaos Forces themselves are not exactly known for their gentle and harmonious treatment of subordinates. That Chaos Lord? If he's a Space Marine, he likely considers you nothing more than a disposable pawn, useful for soaking up loyalist fire or being sacrificed in a dark ritual when the time comes. The heretic priests and warlocks whispering praises to the Dark Gods aren't going to give you a warm hug and a cup of recaf either. More likely, they'll brand you with some spiky rune that burns like a hot iron, by the way, to mark you as their property and then tell you to charge the enemy just as your former commissar did. Except now, if you hesitate, it isn't a bolt pistol you have to fear. It might be a Chaos Champion splitting you from collarbone to groin with a chainsword for your lack of zeal. Ironically, many who flee the Imperium for fear of its cruelty find that the forces of chaos demand even greater extremes of obedience, just in a more chaotic, blood-soaked fashion. Khorne cares not from where the blood flows, only that it flows. And if it's yours because you fled battle, so be it. But suppose you survive a while as a traitor guardsman. You fight against your former comrades, maybe raid some Imperial outposts, indulge in a bit of looting and revenge. You might even feel empowered. The Chaos Warband gives you a sense of belonging, twisted as it is. Over time, though, things get weird. The longer you run with chaos, the more likely you are to witness or endure nightmarish transformations. Maybe the cult's sorcerer blesses you with a mutation. Suddenly you've got tentacles where your arm was, or your skin is growing scales. The Dark Gods are generous in giving gifts to their new servants, and those gifts are as horrifying as they are capricious. One day you might wake up and your mouth has moved to your stomach and your eyes are on your cheeks. At that point, the dream of a peaceful retirement is well and truly dead, if it wasn't already. You've sold your soul, quite literally, and Chaos isn't known for its retirement plans. And what about the opposing side, the Imperium you left behind? They will hunt you with a fury reserved for the vilest of traitors. If you thought being a lone deserter put a target on your back, try being part of a traitor regiment. The full wrath of the Emperor's arsenal will be aimed squarely at you. Perhaps an Inquisitor declares exterminatus on the region you and your new buddies are holed up in. Hope you enjoy being vaporized by orbital bombardment. Or maybe if you really hit the jackpot, the Adeptus Astartes, Space Marines, are sent to deal with you. Space Marines do not take kindly to human treachery. To them, a guardsman who turns to chaos is an abomination. They will come in drop pods and thunderhawks, and they will give no quarter. You won't get a chance to surrender or explain yourself. You'll just be another heretic to exterminate in cleansing fire. The Emperor's angels have killed demigods and monsters. A few squads of renegade guardsmen are not even a speed bump to them. They might actually prefer if you fight instead of run. It gives them an excuse to be even more brutal. It's telling that most Chaos cultists and traitor militia have lifespans only marginally longer than penal legionnaires, and often far more gruesome ends. If the Imperium doesn't kill you, your Dark Masters or the Warp itself probably will. Fail a Chaos Warlord, and your skull might adorn a Bloodthirster's throne by dusk. Displease the Dark Gods, and you could be transformed into a Chaos Spawn. A mindless, writhing heap of flesh cursed to live on as a grotesque monster. That's the punchline for many a traitor. They flee mortal discipline and end up enslaved by literal demons or turned into gibbering mutants. Now consider Xenos as alternative allies. The options here are limited, but there's one that stands out. The Tau Empire. Unlike most 40k aliens who will kill or enslave you on sight, the Tau have a bit of a benevolent facade. They occasionally accept human defectors and even Imperial units that surrender. They call these humans Gwevesa, which means human helpers in their tongue. So imagine you've had enough of the Imperial Guard's thankless life and you're stationed in a war zone against the Tau. The blue-skinned aliens come on the Vox speakers, urging your regiment to lay down arms and be treated well as honored guests of the greater good. They promise food, shelter, even the possibility of living normal lives under their rule. After watching half your buddies die and a commissar execute the rest for retreating, that offer could sound temptingly sane. Perhaps you and a group of comrades actually throw down your last guns and raise your hands to the drones overhead, choosing to surrender rather than fight on. Surprisingly, the Tau might not shoot you. They might actually give you water, medical treatment, and a pep talk about how the greater good welcomes all beings. Compared to the Imperium's approach, that's downright genteel. So far, so good, right? You get taken to a relocation camp, given clean clothes, maybe even allowed to settle on a Tau-controlled world instead of being sent to the front. If you're particularly cooperative, read, you're willing to denounce the Emperor and pledge loyalty to the Tau ideology. They might even arm you and use you as an auxiliary unit to bolster their lines. Suddenly, you're fighting with advanced Tau weaponry rather than against it. Pretty sweet deal? Hold on. First, consider how the Tau see you. You are a useful propaganda piece and a source of manpower. They'll educate you in the ways of the greater good, which essentially means re-indoctrinating you. If you join their ranks, you fight for their ethereals now, those alien leaders who command almost religious reverence. You might not have a commissar anymore, but the ethereals have their own ways of ensuring loyalty, some say pheromones or subliminal influence. Life under the Tau is certainly calmer and more orderly than under the Imperium, and they won't randomly execute you for saying the wrong prayer. However, you are now a traitor to humanity. If the war turns and Imperial forces recapture your sector, you can bet your last dime of pay. Not that you'll be paid in currency now. That the Imperium will not forgive your collaboration. They won't inquire kindly whether you were forced or did it willingly. They will simply eradicate the Tolovian traitors. So you'd better hope the Tau win and keep winning. Because the moment the Imperium regains ground, it's open season on you. There have been instances of entire units switching sides to the Tau, for example, a planetary defense force or a stranded guard regiment that was treated fairly by the Tau and decided to throw in their lot. Those humans often become an auxiliary regiment in Tau service, fighting the next battles under a new flag. In To records, some are even respected for their contributions. But in the scrolls of the Imperium, their names are damned. They're listed as traitors to be shot on sight. If any are ever captured, they'd likely be handed to the Inquisition for a very unpleasant debriefing, followed by an execution, or an even worse punishment as discussed earlier. The To might integrate you into their society to an extent. You could live among them, maybe have a more comfortable life than you did as a guardsman, especially if you have some useful skill. But you will always be a second-class citizen at best, subject to the needs of the To Empire. And the To, for all their polite demeanor, are expansionists. If someday it served the greater good to send all human auxiliaries into a meat grinder to protect actual To troops, they'd do it. Perhaps more tactfully than the Imperium, but the result for you is the same. You bleed and die for someone else's cause. The color of your banner changes, but the role of disposable soldier remains. What about other aliens? Frankly, most other Xenos aren't viable options for a turncoat looking to survive. Orcs don't take human volunteers. They might keep a few runt humans around as slaves or playthings, but your life expectancy among orcs would be measured in hours, days at most. You'd be the butt of their cruel jokes until one gets bored and puts an axe through your skull. Trying to appeal to an orc by deserting is like jumping into a lion's den because you got tired of your zookeeper. It doesn't end well. Dark Eldar. Drukhari. Emperor help you if you fall into their clutches. They adore deserters and prisoners because they didn't have to even fight you to get a new torture toy. You won't be joining their ranks. You'll be shipped to the dark city of Komorash, where you'll experience whole new dimensions of suffering until you're begging for death that may never come. The Drukhari will keep you alive and in agony for as long as possible to savor your pain. Compared to that, a Commissar's bolt pistol is a merciful gift. Craftworld Eldar, the more aloof, noble cousins of the Dark Eldar, have zero interest in human deserters except perhaps to mind-trick you into doing something for them and then discard you. To them, you're a mayfly, a primitive, not even worth the trouble. Necrons? Living metal skeletons bent on galactic purging. If you approach them seeking asylum, they'll likely shoot first, disintegrate your molecules, and not even register that you were trying to surrender. They don't do prisoners or allies with primitive humans. And Tyranids? Well, they are beasts. If you run towards a Tyranid swarm thinking you can switch sides, you'll just get eaten or absorbed into the goo they make more Tyranids from. So, in terms of viable defection, really it's Chaos or To, or perhaps joining a human separatist rebellion. We've covered Chaos and To. What about something like a local rebellion? Maybe you desert and rally some fellow soldiers or locals to rise up against a cruel governor. That makes you not just a deserter, but a full-blown traitor leader. Your life might get a short burst of purpose. Yes, down with the Imperium. We'll fight for ourselves. But unless you have an entire planet and some serious firepower, the Imperium will come down on you like a ton of ceramite. You'll go from an angry man with a las gun to a little splatter of ashes under a battle titan's foot in short order. We have countless histories of so-called rebellions flaring up, sometimes even taking over a hive city or a whole world for a time, only to be brutally crushed by the Imperial response. And the leader, if captured alive, gets a particularly dramatic execution. Perhaps he's drawn and quartered by sentinel walkers in the city square, or burned at the stake as a heretic while the restored authorities watch. The Imperium loves making examples of traitor leaders to discourage others. So if you're thinking I could do better than these corrupt generals, I'll start my own war, be aware. You might win a small battle, but the Imperium will win the war. In the end, joining the enemy doesn't save you. It only changes who eventually kills you. You might lengthen your life a bit under the Tau's greater good, or in the ragged hordes of chaos, but the reckoning always comes. Maybe it'll be a bolt shell from a gray knight that tears you apart instead of a bolt shell from a commissar. Or maybe you'll live long enough to find out that aliens and dark gods can betray and abandon you just as coldly as the Imperium ever could, probably more so. The galaxy is not kind to traitors, because even the ones you join know that having betrayed once, you might betray again. There's a saying in the traitor legions, those are the space marines who turn to chaos, treason breeds treachery. They don't fully trust humans who come over to their side, so often they'll use you hard and fast, then toss you aside. The Tau, with their honeyed words, will never let you near anything truly sensitive or important. You'll always be an auxiliary, kept on the periphery. So to recap, fleeing the Imperium and joining its enemies simply changes your uniform and maybe the style of tyranny above you, but your end is still likely violent and unmourned. You'll still be a pawn on someone's board, and when that pawn is no longer useful, it gets sacrificed, whether by an Imperial general, a Chaos champion, or an alien commander. There is no cozy sanctuary where a former Imperial Guardsman can sip cocktails and live out his natural lifespan in peace, at least not with any certainty or security. The galaxy just doesn't work that way, certainly not in the 41st millennium. At this point, it should be crystal clear that deserting the Imperium of Man is a losing proposition. Whether at the hands of your own officers, in the slave pits of a penal colony as a mind-wiped servitor, or in the bloody service of Xenos or Chaos, the fate of an Imperial deserter is invariably bleak. The galaxy offers no refuge for those who flee their duty. It only offers different arenas of misery. The Emperor's armies may be unforgiving, but the alternatives are equally, if not more, horrifying. The Imperial soldier's oath is bound by the harshest of terms. Only in death does duty end. If you try to cheat that contract, the very best you can hope for is a swift execution. More likely, you'll find yourself living a nightmare you never imagined possible, wishing you had just died honorably on the battlefield when you had the chance. In a universe this cruel, running away doesn't save your life. It merely prolongs your suffering until the Emperor's judgment, or something far worse, finally catches up. So if you ever find yourself on the front lines, heart pounding with terror, and the thought of throwing down your last gun enters your mind, remember the draconian fate that awaits deserters. However deadly the enemy in front of you may be, the retribution behind you is far worse. Stand and fight, because in the end, there truly is no escape. For an Imperial deserter, death isn't just the only way out. It's quite literally the best outcome you can hope for.